Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
On fourth down, Jared up under center, turns, gives it to Montgomery, gets the first down. Jared tripped as he came out from behind center, handed it to Demo, just barely got it to him. He got the first down to the 14-yard line. You let that clock run now. Down to 30, and the Packers can't stop it.
This was the play that's causing all the controversy. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Thank you to Dan Miller and Lions Radio for that one. David Montgomery converting on a fourth and one, but really more like inches, Perloff. The problem was, if you think there is a problem, Dan Campbell didn't need to take this amount of risk. He could have kicked a 38-yard field goal, but instead want to play more about the clock. Did not want to leave any time for Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers because the Detroit defense was banged up. And I don't know about you, but I'm all here for it.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Campbell has found a secret weapon, which is reckless abandon going for fourth downs. And I think it's become an intimidating factor with teams. I really do. It's the identity. People know they're doing it. And good luck stopping it. I think this has become a major asset for the Lions.
Yeah, I totally disagree. I think it's the Lions are clearly the best team in the NFC. And this kind of stuff gives everybody else a chance. I mean, obviously, we saw what happened last night. They're deep in their own territory. Go for it on fourth and the long one, and don't even come close.
Yeah, that was earlier in the game, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't that much. Yeah, it was the fourth quarter, right? And so they run this stretch play where Jahmyr Gibbs doesn't even get close to the line. Then they have this play last night, key play. Jared Goff falls down, barely gets a handoff to David Montgomery, shows the risk in that play. They could have given it to the Packers with 30-something seconds left, no timeouts. It would have been hard. You could have played for you could have played prevent on that 40-yard line. I understand Jordan Love was getting hot, but still, the Lions are like the best team, but they let everyone have a chance. In my mind, like even last night, the whole game, you felt like the Lions were the better team, but they're screwing around. They're letting the Packers hang around.
See, I think Dan Campbell's just playing the game he's in. And by the way, he'd probably play this game 10 times out of 10, but his defense, they were bleeding out, basically. He's losing dudes left and right. They had so many linebackers down. They had so many defensive guys down, defensive backs. They're a shell of themselves. I think he was doing the thing that was going to help his team the most, which is don't ask you to defend Jordan Love, who you mentioned got hot in the second half. Jordan Love was 3 for 7 for 31 yards in the first half, 9 for 13, 175 yards and 3 touchdowns in the second half. I mean, he came alive. And I think the Packers are kicking themselves because I think they even left a little bit more, even though they scored 31 points. I think the offense still even left a lot on the field. But still, this was the move. And again, we talk about boogeyman aspects. I talk about this a lot with the Kansas City Chiefs and how they always find a way to win and it's improbable. And I think that helps them. I think people think sometimes they're unbeatable. I think Dan Campbell's doing this with the fourth down stuff with the Lions. I think like this is what they're going to do. Good luck stopping it. And they seem to be getting better and better at it.
Ooh, I don't know. I mean, I feel like, yes, obviously the Eagles have an unstoppable fourth down play. They have that tush push. Feel like the Lions, if they just played normal on fourth down, they would win every game by 10 points. I feel like they're the best team. It's an equalizer. To me, it's like, and I put this out on social media, I think that, you know, they're letting the rest of the field catch up to them because they're going to be reckless on fourth down. We saw in last year's playoffs, obviously.
Yeah.
And last night at their own 30, I don't know why, and I'm saying this, I actually wish I'd said it before. They went for it. I'm like, oh, my God, this is the dumbest thing ever. They're not going to make this. Because I think deep inside, the offensive players know this is a stupid call. They didn't make it. The Packers score an easy touchdown. Again, and the other thing, too, is the Lions, like Jared Goff.
Well,
I mean, that one interception, they have three factors to me that make them vulnerable. Otherwise, they'd be a runaway favorite because they're so wildly talented. The fourth down mistakes, the Jared Goff interception that is completely unnecessary, and the injuries on defense. All three of them. I don't know what the Super Bowl odds are today, but I downgrade them a little bit after last night.
Okay, so here's the interesting thing, and they put this up on the graphic, where Jared Goff's interceptions, it's like he's not really throwing a lot. He had the 5-interception game against the Houston Texans, which they won, by the way. But he had interceptions early in the season. Even I questioned what was going on with their offense early in the year. But then he goes these long stretches where he doesn't turn the ball over.
Against bad teams.
And by the way, he even got stepped on this critical 4th and inches that we played the highlight for you coming out of the top of the show. He gets stepped on by one of his offensive linemen. Probably he's got size like 15 plank shoes, like me. Big feet. I get it. It's good for balance. He gets stepped on. Still falls, still is able to get the ball to David Montgomery to get the first down. It's just, and that, by the way, that could have gone to David Montgomery, that could have gone to Gibbs, that could have gone to Laporta, that could have gone to Amon Ross St. Brown, that could have gone to Jameson Williams, that could have gone to a million different guys. And good luck to the Packers. They were not stopping that 4th and inches.
Except for the one before where they stopped Gibbs, who you just mentioned in that list.
Okay, but then they brought back Montgomery. It's like if they just had Gibbs or they just had this guy or just had that guy, then maybe I'd say it's more of a liability, but you don't know where it's coming from.
Yeah,
you
fourth, they kind of seem to know the literally the one right before.
They stopped it. Well, okay.
They stopped it once, but...
stopped it one time. They stopped literally, the Lions were 4 for 5 on fourth down.
And you mentioned that Jared Goff has been super clean for a while, but he's been playing the AFC South. So honestly, I take all four of those games completely off the table. Nobody in their right mind is going to risk throwing an interception when you can easily beat the Colts, the Jaguars, the Texans.
Five of those picks were against the Texans. Yeah.
Well, right, but Maggie took that game out of the list.
That's kind of an anomaly, guys. 5 picks in one game, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't trust it. They're making him make too many weird plays. Like, there was a play where he made on third down where he was moving around, and he found probably Tim Patrick, who he always finds.
Yeah.
Now, who
How about
I love.
That guy? 2 touchdowns last night.
But there was a play where Goff was moving his feet and got a third down. I'm like, oh, great. Wait till the playoffs when he has to move around. That's going to cause a problem for the Lions.
Okay, well, you're talking about how you think they're, you know, Goff might be getting a little bit fatter. He's only clean on games against the AFC South. The reality is this team's 12-1. Yeah. This is the best start in the history of the franchise. They've won 11 straight wins. And oh, by the way, they're undefeated against their own division, the NFC North. That's widely thought of, I think we can all agree, toughest division in the NFL this year. And they're 4-0. So I can't just say, wow, they beat up the Jags and they beat up this and that. They also have swept the Packers now. They beat the Minnesota Vikings and they held on to beat the Bears on Thanksgiving. We all saw that one. They're that good. And they've got this secret weapon, which is their head coach is like crazy, like a fox. I think it's a weapon. You think it's a liability.
Yeah. I have to be honest. Like, I watched that game as an Eagles fan last year through Eagles eyes. Like, ooh, okay. There's some opportunities. We know James Williams is an idiot. He'll have a personal foul. Saw a lot of dumb things. Like, they do some dumb things. There's just no way around it. They are on paper with that offensive line and those two running backs.
They had their left tackle out last night.
They should. The guy who was in for him is 6'9", 450 pounds.
Just flopping everywhere. What the hell was that about?
And they didn't allow pressure for like 3.5 quarters. Though.
But you could see, and actually, by the way, to the Packers' credit, like they just put like 9 guys in the box. Like that run game should be able to bleed the clock. They should, on paper, they are the best team. They look like a Super Bowl team. But do you 100% trust them? That's the question. Like it just feels like, ooh. They have some loose spots. You saw it against the Bears. You saw it last night. I mean, they got up 10-0. they really should have blown out the Packers last night. But somehow, all of a sudden, it's a game. I don't know why. They are very committed to game control. Like, they're going to play really conservative and run the ball, which I like. But you, if you do that, like, if you have a lot of offensive plays, you're setting up for a mistake. I just think, I'm thinking of last year's playoffs. Like, remember what cost them?
Yeah, no, it was the fourth down
calls. It was Goff moving his feet and trying to make a play.
Well, this is why last night was even more important.
Yeah.
Because now they've got the inside track on the number one seed. So now they only have to go 3-1 to finish out the season to get that number one seed. Super important because the Lions need the home field. I think it's better for them. It's not that Goff, listen, he won a rainy game in Lambeau last month, but I think they want that indoor number one seed. Let's hear from Dan Campbell, shall we? The Danimal. The decision to go for it on that very controversial fourth down, which ended up bleeding the clock and leading to a walk-off field goal.
Just felt like we needed to end it on offense, you know, and I did not want to give that ball back, and I believed we could get that. I believed we could convert, you know, and I trusted that old line. I trusted David, and they came through for us. It's a hell of a call by Ben.
You know, and honestly, too, it is the strength of the team. You mentioned it yourself. The offensive line's the strength. The run game is the strength. And last night, and until these guys get healthier on defense, the defense is not the strength. Because in the second half, you saw the Packers get right back into this game immediately.
Let me ask you a question. If, Jared Goff had tripped and they really couldn't get the handoff right and they stuffed him right there, you'd be saying the same exact thing right now.
Did I not defend Dan Campbell after the NFC Championship game last year? I was the only one on the show who defended him.
EJ, take the tape on that one.
To ask Pete Pilati. I thought Pete was going to, I thought we were going to have a fist fight in the break room.
I remember Pete was Kostos, so bad. I remember our friend Nick Kostos was defending him. I don't remember you being like, that was the right call. That was the right call.
I know, but Perloff, you don't remember what happened 5 minutes ago. So you can't trust your memory.
You've been a consistent defender of Dan Campbell, always going for it on fourth down.
What did I say? I said, you have to stay true to who you are and what you do, right? I did say that. I've been consistent on that. What my one tweak on this is, I think now it's a weapon. I could justify it last year in the NFC Championship game because that's who they are. It's what they've been doing. Everyone on the offense and the team knows this is our jam. Now I think it's a weapon. I think it's intimidating to other teams.
It's a weapon they absolutely don't need. Like, it's a weapon that can backfire on them. I don't know what that's called when you shoot something and it goes back at you, but like
boomerang, maybe?
They don't need this weapon. This is a weapon that opens up the game to all sorts of practice. Like, they're the, if they were healthy on defense, they're the best team. I mean, there's no doubt about that. Even use this weapon?
Can I flip, though? You just asked me, is it, if they had not gotten it on the fourth and inches, would I be effusive in my praise for Dan Campbell, blah, blah. I'll do one better. What if they kick the field goal on, instead of going for it on the fourth and inches, and they leave Jordan Love 50 seconds or whatever.
Right.
And Jordan Love, who had been on fire in the second half. And by the way, the one besides Josh Jacobs, who didn't have a lot of yardage totals last night, but obviously was super effective. What if it's an explosive play to Christian Watson, which got them back into this game to begin with in the second half?
Right.
And what if it's a Jordan Love explosive play and all of a sudden you left Jordan Love too much time, and now this game is remembered as the legend of Jordan Love, who came into your building a second time and beat you.
Well,
Josh Jacobs, then we'd be saying, "Wow, right. Dan Campbell, you should have went for it. You're Mr. Fourth Down. You go for it all the time." If he had left enough time for Jordan Love, I think we'd be criticizing him for that too.
So there are 43 seconds left when they ran the play. There's no, you know, you don't even. I don't even know if Jacobs is on the field for that last drive, but you can't really. Yeah. Can't land in the field of play. Right. So you can't. So there's no plays. Like, I think that's like, you don't trust your defense enough in that situation.
$20 million quarterback. Like,
I mean, Christian Watson, all you have to do, that play, the entire defense is stacked up for Josh Jacobs. And that's why Christian Watson escaped on that one play. I don't know in that scenario that the Green Bay was so easily going to move it down the field.
Well, but their explosive plays were a thing last night. And because Detroit's defense was so banged up, like, I think we could play the what-if game a few different ways is what I'm trying to say.
So you like the one where they went for it on their 32, and that led to the short Packers score. So
listen, I watched John Harbaugh do that. I've watched Belichick do that. I've watched coaches do that. It feels bananas at the time, and it obviously set up a Green Bay touchdown. It feels crazy, but it's just who they are.
I keep hearing this, who they are. Like, doesn't every situation merit a completely different decision?
I don't think so. I think there are some teams that play conservative. Like, you hate it when teams have defensive head coaches because you always think they play too conservative. Yeah. I think some teams have it in there. This is our identity. I don't know. Unless you think these buzzwords are kind of stupid corporate speak, but I think it's kind of true. I do think it's an outlook.
I feel like if the Lions just played straight up against any team, especially in the NFC, I don't know about the Chiefs, like, they're going to beat them and beat them soundly. I think all this, like, sort of shenanigans makes them a little bit vulnerable.
EJ, let's throw it up on the poll if you don't mind. Dan Campbell and the fourth down decisions by the Lions, does this make them more intimidating or more vulnerable? What do you think? 855-212-4227.
Matt, I will throw that poll up, but we got something breaking here. So, nothing serious, but Andrew Kaplan may be the quickest. I want to call him Quick Draw McGraw, because somehow he has found the audio from the NFC Championship game. He did this in like 0.5 seconds. So we have this audio.
Defended him.
So we will decide now if Maggie defended or was she wishy-washy? Did she criticize Dan Campbell? NFC Championship game.
Grow up. Stop making these fourth down calls. It's not a Madden game. This is an NFL playoff game. How can you defend Dan Campbell?
I can defend Dan Campbell because they were a 12-win team and a team that got to where they've got to based on this philosophy. To abandon it at this time would have been the ultimate just boneheaded move. It would have been the ultimate, you don't have an identity. If you say you have an identity and going for it on these fourth and shorts, which is not at the 25, by the way, he's doing this in plus territory. Man, I need some new material, but I am very consistent on this. Basically said the same thing this morning. Holy moly.
There you go.
Believe me now.
But right. Now I'm a little worried, though, for the Lions because they lost that game. So is this going to be what's going to happen to keep following the Maggie Gray School of Coaching? Are they going to lose another playoff game doing this?
I think they're going to win because of this.
Oh, man. I'm so psyched about this, by the way. Let's face it. At home, the Lions are going to beat the Eagles.
I was going to say, do you feel comfortable?
I mean, they're probably
the Eagles
like
had to go into
they're probably field? Like a 5-point favorite. But thank God Dan Campbell's doing this because I mean, to give Nick Sirianni a chance at coaching edge, you have to be really creative. I also think I think there's some plays on the Lions where they just like they get loose. You could even see last night, they should have won that game handily last night. I don't really know what was happening, why that was so close. And all of a sudden you looked and it's like, wait, the Packers are leading in the third quarter? How did that happen?
Well, because guys on the Lions defense were basically like in body bags by the end. And Jordan Love got hot.
Yeah, I mean, they had two really short fields. Think about the games. They lost to the Bucs because Goff threw the same exact interception that he threw last night. And they almost lost this game. He's gone through an interception. They blew a fourth down call. And also, I don't know. I just don't trust all their players. I trust Tim Patrick. I always love that guy as a Bronco. Mm-hmm. I trust the two running backs. I just think that somebody's going to take the formula the Packers did last night. All right, let's try and stuff the run and make Jared Goff beat you. At some point, I don't know. I feel like there's a mistake coming. I feel like that NFC title game could duplicate itself. We could see that again.
855-212-4227. Question, simple. Answer's not simple. Is Dan Campbell a weapon or a liability? 855-212-4227. Okay, lots more to do, including we had got some weird news yesterday. We also, we've got something to tell you about our dear friend, Mr. Andrew Perloff, which we'll get to. A side of you that people around here didn't see until the first time.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, people think, Perloff, like, he's a layered guy.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
There's a lot to you, is what I'm saying. More to you than just meets the eye, right?
I honestly missed something. I'm not sure.
Okay. 855-212-4227. All right, one thing we know about Perloff, though, he loves Prize Picks. So do I.
I won big time on Prize Picks last night, by the way. for some reason, because I've been saying so many nice things about Jameer Gibbs, I went under on his running.
You zagged a little?
Yeah. I zagged a little. Of course, Jameer Gibbs is such an amazing pass catcher that it didn't even really matter. He still won the game for the Lions. So I won on that one.
Oh, amazing. Well, all you have to do if you want to get in on the winnings is download the Prize Picks app. It's so simple to use. You pick two or more players across any sport, then just go more or less on their projection, and you could win up to 100 times your money. And sometimes you got to fade some of your favorite players. That's just how it goes. We're trying to win money here, people. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use the code M&P and get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. That's code M&P on Prize Picks to get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Two things last night that gave me hope as an Eagles fan that the Lions can be beat, because they look like the team to beat right now, but I don't like the fourth down shenanigans. I also think Green Bay is going to have to go back there for a third time, so they're going to have to beat this Green Bay team three times in a row. I was like, drop that game so you don't have to deal with that issue. Because Green Bay, you could see like they're licking their chops. Like they want another shot at Detroit, because game flow wise, that could have gone a little differently. It is going to be the Detroit is obviously the team to beat. They're 12-1, but it's going to be a very, very competitive NFC field. Like there's going to be close games with Detroit. So that's why I'm sort of bringing up this, do you trust Dan Campbell? Is there any, like, you basically are going to need to be perfect to get past Green Bay and Philly. They probably could. But, man, I would not want to mess around. I would just play straight-up football, run that ball down everyone's throat, and try and win normally.
This is their version of playing straight-up football. And last night was so important because now they do have the inside track on the number one seed. I agree with you on one thing. Yeah. We don't agree about Dan Campbell. We're asking today, is he a weapon or a liability? I will agree with you on one thing. I don't think the Eagles are going into Detroit and winning. I think that home field advantage matters. I don't think it'd be a 5.5-point spread. I think you're too fat on that, but maybe like 3.5, 3.
I don't think the Eagles are scared of that particular game.
Maybe not, but yeah. I would feel much better if I were the Eagles if I were at home, and now it doesn't look like that's going to happen barring some real breakdown from Detroit. Like, it looks like they're getting the number one seed. You're going to have to go to Detroit if you want to go to the Super Bowl.
Especially because the Detroit has a conference tiebreaker almost sewed up. No, I mean, because if Detroit...
They're 4-0 in the division.
Right. If they lose to your Bills, then it's not going to kill them at all, where the Eagles have two losses already. You're right. It's probably going to go through Detroit. But I think that seems like a really close game. Obviously, it'll be a battle. It's amazing. The narrative of the season is the free agent running back. The fact that you saw Josh Jacobs running like crazy last night, you got Saquon, Derrick Henry. I think it's going to be an old school who can control the ball. That's what the Lions do the best. It's not their fourth down thing. They just like, they had 6-minute drives and 8-minute drives. And like, that's
really
impressive.
How do you think they keep those drives alive?
Run the ball.
And going forward on fourth and keeping the chains moving.
I'm not sure I buy that. Like, that's not how they're doing it.
Well, they're controlling the ball with the run game. Controlling the game, excuse me, by running the ball, but also keeping drives alive.
And like, who can do that just as well as I can?
I was just looking at the time of possession in this game. Detroit had the ball 36 minutes to 23 for the Packers. Now, a lot of that was the first half where the Packers couldn't buy a first down. Okay, we're asking you, is Dan Campbell a weapon or a liability? David is in Louisville. David, what do you think?
I believe the question is Dan Campbell, madman or genius? And it's genius so far. The whole damn world is watching this cat. And what he does so well, other than just his fourth down demeanor, however you want to put it, is the team, they're filled with tough guys. And that's what he has. That's what he's brought. And whether you like some of his fourth down decisions or not, doesn't matter because they're working.
You know, David, I think it's a good point, but Perloff, you and I have been doing this together now for a while. I think I know what you would say to that. You also think that this is a team, they're tough guys, but also are capable of losing focus at times and getting bad penalties.
Oh, definitely.
Am I reading that right from you?
Well, last night the officials were clearly wearing Lion blue. I mean, there was no doubt that all the calls went through. That actually concerns me big time, that in the home field, the Lions will get the calls again. I think they can win straight up. Like, I don't think they need to use what I'll call a little bit of a gimmick going forward on fourth down. Like, if you line up the Joes against the Joes here, I think they're better than anybody. I think they're letting everyone sort of catch up to them.
Okay, so technically they both got flagged for 7 penalties, but here was a weird thing. I'm glad you brought up the officials, because here's a funny thing. That replay review, I feel like that has not really been a huge thing in terms of spotting the ball in crucial times. Then all of a sudden last night, Amon-Ra St. Brown on that final drive, they initially gave him the first down. It did look a little close.
Right.
We have that yellow line, which is not official, but one of the greatest inventions in the history of sports television, or just history, the first down line. And then so the Packers call timeout, and then the replay review comes in and says, no, it's actually third and inches, and then they get stopped, and it set up this controversial fourth and inches that they converted. I don't remember replay review coming in like that to spot the ball in that kind of crucial moment.
But they did on the Goff touchdown, too. That was clearly.
But they did it twice in this game. But I'm talking about the rest of the NFL.
Well, I feel like replay review has no rules, right? Like instant replay. There's no, you can do it whenever you want.
Right, but it's funny because we've had some controversial face mask, no face mask. Like we've had other controversial plays, but I guess you just don't use it.
Well, they can't use it on the face mask. That's one
thing. Right, we learned that from the Vikings game earlier.
It doesn't feel unusual to me that they fixed a spot. I don't know. It seems like there's always, every time the quarterback runs out of bounds and holds the ball over the yellow line, like the officials have no idea what to do. Well, and then they're always, you could see them go to their ears. I'm not sure. Like, by the way, on the Goff touchdown that they took away, it was a sneak. I was so sure. We were all, Al Michaels and me were so sure. I'm like, that's a touchdown. And then I'm like, replay review. I want to see that again. And he was clearly short by foot. The controversial one was when Jahmyr Gibbs got the first down and LaFleur threw the challenge flag. And then he needed that timeout later. That was close. I mean, this is a game of inches. Why don't they put a chip in the ball and have a electronic line and then do it that way, Maggie?
Well, do you know there is a conspiracy theory out there? I don't know if it rises to the level of conspiracy theory, but maybe. Where, and I believe the chat was the ones who brought this up, the Weedos and the Coffee Drinkers at youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet, twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork. That they think why kickers have been missing is because someone did put a chip in the ball and it's impacting something.
Mm, that would make sense. Yeah, it does feel like there's some unusual component.
It's just Justin Tucker. It's just a practical joke. But why would they put Tucker for the Ravens?
Why would they put a chip in the K balls?
I don't know.
There's no first down there.
Listen, I didn't say it made sense. I said the chat brought it up.
You said it made sense.
I mean, it made sense. I was thinking about but then the K balls, like they don't have any first down. Why would they put a chip in that ball? But I guess you got
to
be consistent.
To move it? Is that what the theory is? They're controlling it.
Goodell's got some kind of like N64.
You meant like the weight balance of the ball.
That's what they meant too. Now we're just having a little fun. But listen, you start tampering with the footballs and anything can happen.
Yeah, I never understood the K ball. Like what's going on with that ball? Like, I'm sure the Patriots did all sorts of things to those. but by the way, they are hitting longer field goals than ever, too. So what's going on there? Like, now you can hit a 62-yarder, but you can't hit a 29-yarder?
This is what happens when you go down the rabbit hole, guys. See you on the other side. Let's go to Brad. He's in Alabama. Hey, Brad.
Hey, what's up, M&P? How y'all doing this morning?
We're doing great.
Hey, question. Michigan always said that they were an academic school. Now, with them paying that 17-year-old $10 million guaranteeing him to come to college.
Yeah.
Are they considered an academic school anymore or just a football school?
What did Cardale Jones say back in the day with Ohio State? I didn't come here to play school.
Right. Like, why do we even make these kids go to school anymore if it's really about NIL and money? And what I'm worried about is, what's this going to do to the NFL in the future if these kids are already millionaires before they get there? Is it going to change attitude? Is the NFL going to suffer? I mean, because if we just collapse college sports, there'd be no NFL. We could get rid of two big issues in this country at one time.
Brad, you're hitting us with the deep philosophical stuff this morning. I've got two thoughts on this. One, I don't think that the school aspect of this for certain guys is even close to the number one thing. And I think we know that, and I think we've accepted it. And I think sometimes to the detriment of the person, because I don't think they're even, if someone even wanted to say be pre-med, but they're also quarterback of the football team, there's no way the football team's going to allow them to do something that rigorous. Secondly, and I learned this from when I did a show with Bart Scott, who played linebacker for the Jets and Ravens for 11 years. And what he said about money is that it just makes you more of who you already are. So I think if you're a college kid and you get money and you are all of a sudden don't care anymore, Perloff, you maybe would have been someone who would have never been able to care. And if you're somebody who the money doesn't motivate you and it's just a nice perk and job well done and a nice benefit and it still keeps you hungry, then it will always keep you hungry.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Two things that come to mind for me is, what if, depending on what the eventually the Supreme Court rules on House versus NCAA, if players are getting paid directly and if they're really allowed to unionize and have a contract, are you going to have to be a student at University of Alabama to play on the Alabama football team? That's sort of the worst nightmare. It does seem the sport is headed that way. In 10 years, like, are you going to have affiliated teams to the university? Like, are they even going to be students? Because I think legally, I think at some point, someone's going to say, hey, I don't have to enroll there to play there. You can't keep me off this team. So, because they're professional, right?
Right. I mean, that's an interesting one for
lawyers. Yeah, it's college, like a lot of college executives already talked about that. They're like, we can never have the team separated from the school. We'll see.
Can I pose one other thing? And we'll get to the update here, and Bogus is here. How about this? If you are playing football at a Power 4 or Power 2 or however many power conferences we're going to have, and this is kind of your livelihood now, you've kind of chosen to take the football path, how about just classes that make you smarter in the field around you, which is managing your finances, you know, how to deal with the things that come up in your world? How about financial literacy classes, you know, how to invest, you know, things that might actually apply and appeal to guys who are getting checks now, and these somewhat big checks, very young in life.
I love that theory.
Major so in football.
You're thinking like Johnny Manziel was going to go to an accounting class just because he's going to have money coming on? Like, first of all, they're not going to class anyway. Second of all, like, listen, that means you don't believe in a liberal arts education. Like, taking a Shakespeare course might enrich these people's lives as well.
You can do that too. You can take some electives and extracurriculars, but they're not taking Shakespeare probably anyway.
It kind of sounds like you're like, they're so dumb that they probably can't even do the normal classes. That's how I read that.
Oh, no. Quite the opposite. Yeah. I'm thinking, if you have all this money now coming in and you're 18 years old, 19 years old, I'm just thinking about myself. I didn't know anything about money then. I didn't know anything about money until into my late 30s. Yep. It might be beneficial. How can I use this moment in time in my life to set me up for the future? I don't think that's being dumb. I think that's probably the smartest thing you can do.
I hear
you. Going into finance. I mean, that's what all the bros want to do, right?
I don't know. I hear you. Bros? And this is a lot of people have made that argument, but I kind of want like people to take history classes and understand like what happened in this world and why we're here. And like, if you're going to actually enroll in college and go there to expand your mind, not learn how to balance your checkbook.
Well, some people think college is for expanding your mind, and some people think it's for technical skills. Like, my husband's an engineer, and he got to do other fun things like a wine tasting class or something, like, once they threw him a bone. But his classes were very technical oriented. Like, how do you build a bridge?
Wine tasting class?
Yeah, they had it at his school. It's great now. He can pick out a wine. It's like, it's a valuable skill.
How do you fail that class?
He didn't fail it.
No, I'm saying, how does anybody fail?
Oh, nobody does. It's great.
I don't think you get full credit for that.
I don't know. It was like an elective. But what I'm saying is, it was, you know, all of his other classes were very, very technical. So some people don't just go to college to expand their mind. They go to learn technical stuff.
Yeah. But if you're going to actually like enroll, like, why don't you know, you don't need all that stuff. You have a manager for all that. Why don't you take classes where you are exposed to wildly new things? I think that's what college is for. That's why, I mean, let's face it, American college is like the best thing we got going. People come from all over the world to go to our colleges because of liberal arts, not because they can learn some neat accounting tricks when they're $7 million a year running backs.
Well, I think it's both. Also, don't you just get exposed to that just by virtue of being on a college campus? And by the way, being a football player probably opens up the door for a lot of cool experiences that you'd never would have had. You get to meet interesting people, famous people, successful people. Football opens tons of doors for guys.
Yeah, I hear you. But then you might end up being like a 41-year-old quarterback coming off an Achilles injury who thinks that the Tartarians built the pyramids. I'm saying,
that's like, specific quarterback named Aaron Rodgers.
I don't know. It's just like
he had access to one of the great educations. Cal's a phenomenal institution. Anyway, let's get to Bogus. Brad in Alabama got us down this rabbit hole.
Guys, good morning. Your headlines are sponsored by Prize Picks. Football season's heating up, and Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. Download Prize Picks and use Pry My Tie My to get a primetime to get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states where it's lawful to wager. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. They are 12-1 for the first time ever. They clinch a playoff spot. It's a franchise record 11th straight win, and they're 4-0 against the NFC North. The Lions accomplishing a lot with last night's 34-31 thriller over the Packers. But running back David Montgomery wants a little bit more.
We want the one seed, though, so it ain't enough. So we got to keep going. We got, what, 4 games left? 2 away, 2 home, and we got to go out and handle business.
Montgomery speaking on Westwood One after running for 51 yards and a touchdown. Fellow running back Jahmyr Gibbs had 73 scrimmage yards, caught one of Jared Goff's 3 touchdown passes, but their Lions didn't win until the final seconds when Jake Bates had a 35-yard field goal. After that debatable fourth down conversion, Jordan Love did lead a second-half comeback for the Packers, but now they've been swept by Detroit.
That's one thing that we just got to continue to take it a week at a time, like we always talk about. Obviously, we got a couple games left here, and we're trying to finish on the right note and win out these last couple games and handle business, take it one game at a time, and obviously we'll see what happens postseason time.
The Packers dropping to 9-4, 2 games behind the Vikings in the loss column. More on this later this morning, but North Carolina is thinking about going young at head coach, reportedly talking to 72-year-old Bill Belichick about the head coaching job just held by 73-year-old Mac Brown. Utah State's expected to hire Bronco Mendenhall as its new head coach, bringing the former BYU boss back to the state. The Golden State Warriors didn't have Steph Curry or Draymond Green last night, but still snapped their 5-game skid.
Screen by Wiggins. Kuminga drives, slices between two defenders, and scores! He scored it with 16.9 to go. Gets a chest bump from Draymond, a big bump from Curry, and it's 98-93 Golden State.
Tim Roy on Warriors Radio, Jonathan Kuminga scoring a career-high 33 in this 99-93 victory. Before the loss, Rockets head coach Ime Udoka was fined $50,000, $15,000 for Alperen Şengün for their treatment of the officials in Tuesday's game in Sacramento. Tari Eason is down $35,000 for an incident with a fan during that game. Back on the floor, the Bulls outscored the Spurs 139-124. The Pelicans snapped a 9-game skid 126-124 over the Suns, and the Thunder hammered the Raptors 129-92. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander 30 points, 5 assists. Men's number 8 Purdue took an 81-70 thumping at unranked Penn State. Those Nittany Lions led by as many as 27. Hannah Hidalgo had 30 as 10th-ranked Notre Dame fought off 4th-ranked Texas 80-70 in overtime, and our Connor needs a new head coach. The struggling Blackhawks firing Luke Richardson yesterday after 2-plus seasons. AHL coach Anders Sorensen is the interim replacement. Guys, back to you.
Hockey is just ruthless.
Yeah.
They will cut coaches and replace them with people we've heard of or not.
Our guy Jim Montgomery in Boston had the best regular season of all time and is fired a year and a half later.
Well, what happened in the playoffs?
Yeah, I know. Well, he got rehired 3 days after he got fired, right? Yeah,
a team fired a guy after 22 games to hire Jim Montgomery.
Yeah, I know, because he's awesome.
It's amazing to me. Hockey is it's blood sport when it comes to coaches and firing them, which we'll get to Belichick, by the way, because Bogus just told us that news that he interviewed at UNC.
Yeah, that's awesome. By the way, is the leading candidates are John Tortorella and Mike Keenan, right? Because they have every job. There's only 4 coaches who rotate around.
They're all the same guy. Bogus, thank you. 855-212-4227. Okay, well, we'll get into Belichick. This game was awesome last night. You're welcome to weigh in. Our question, is Dan Campbell a weapon or a liability? But yeah, who thought Belichick was going to go to college to coach? We got the details for you next.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Friday vibes around here. Big game last night. Detroit Lions win it on a walk-off field goal over their rival, the Green Bay Packers. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, and Dan Campbell. We're asking you today, is he a weapon or a liability for the gutsy, risky, however you want to describe them, fourth down calls that ultimately did decide the game and going for it on a fourth and inches when they could have just calmly kicked a 38-yard field goal, but it would have left time for Jordan Love and the Packers. Okay. I mentioned before that there's more to Andrew Perloff than meets the eye, right? You have different sides of you. You're a multifaceted, multi-layered person.
Feels like there's some sort of dig coming in
there's
here.
There's no dig coming.
More than meets the eye. Like, I'm not even sure what you mean by meets the eye. It just feels like a slightly negative sort of vibe going on here, but please go ahead.
Don't mean it that way at all. It was just a story that was relayed yesterday on our sister station, WFAN. You may have heard of it, where morning host Greg Giannotti is describing to his co-host, former league MVP Boomer Esiason, about an encounter that he had early in the morning where he was almost hit by a car. So here's Gio telling Boomer how he was almost hit in the morning.
As I was walking across the street today, there was a car that was like flying by. And I had to like stop because it came around the corner and it was flying. And I was like, I just stopped crossing the street because it was nobody crossing the street. When I started crossing the street, it's far, boom. Like I stopped. And then the person in the car, I couldn't really see who it was, but they were like staring at me, like staring.
Okay, staring. And Gio admits he got really intimidated. You know, early in the streets of New York City, someone staring you down from a car. This could be an intimidating thing. Then he realizes who it was.
And this guy comes flying around. It's getting stared at. And I'm like walking in. I'm like, man, you know, that kind of shook me up a little bit, the way that guy was staring at me. Just now in the hallway, I'm walking to my office. Who comes up to me and says, I almost hit you with my car today? Andrew Perloff, the most least intimidating man on earth.
Okay. I was like, that was you? I was like, you had me all freaked out that you were going to come around the corner and try to run me over again.
More from Boomer and Gio again on WFAN talking about how Perloff almost hit Greg Giannotti with his car yesterday morning and how unbelievable it was that Perloff was the Mad Max.
Wow. Andrew Perloff of Maggie and Perloff, McLovin from the Dan Patrick Show, the skinniest, least intimidating man in the history of the human race was the one that I was spooked about. How stupid is that?
But even he goes to show you that, you know, put a nice guy like him behind the wheel of a car in New York City and anything's bound to happen.
Anything's bound to happen. You know, I got another one.
There you go.
Yeah, I knew there was some kind of dig coming.
But this is what I'm saying. There's more. They think that you're not intimidating, but clearly you are. You showed them there's a different side of you.
Gotcha.
Perloff is the one who knocks.
Exactly. How do you remember the story? Did you almost hit him?
How close
did you come?
No. He jutted out and he walked in the street. Then he kind of went back because I was coming around, but he didn't need to. I saw him. I would have stopped. I was staring because I didn't really recognize him. So he confused a stare down with, oh, is that
Gio? Do I know that guy?
Yeah. I was trying to get that light. You know that light at the corner? So I had to go drive kind of fast. Because every morning I go around for parking.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Around here, it's like a kill or be killed for the parking spots, not for anything else. All right, so you're offended by this.
No. Okay. I'm glad I didn't hit him, by the way. That would have been, he wouldn't have been able to tell the story. Yeah.
Yeah. Telling it from a hospital bed.
Gio's also been sick, too, so I think he might have thought this was a fever dream. The whole thing went down.
Well, here's the big question. Perloff and I talk about this all the time because he lives in New York City and I live deep in the suburbs of New Jersey. And you think it's scarier where I live as opposed to where you live. Like, you tell me all the time, my house backs up to a forest. And you think this is the freakiest thing, where I think a lot of people listening to us would probably say New York City is the scarier.
Like, scene. Well,
but you find New York City not country, scary like, at
when,
all.
When you hear a knock in the middle of the night, like, what do you think it means?
Well, nobody's coming to knock in the middle of the night. Nobody's there.
What if it's like wind or something? Don't you get freaked out? EJ, you're a city guy. You know what I mean?
I've done both. I've done city and I've done the suburb, almost rural thing in Lehigh Valley. Lehigh Valley, that was scary.
Can you put up on the poll what's scarier, a city or the countryside? I don't know. How
like,
you that.
But the not suburbs. Suburbs are right in between, but right, like where you are, Maggie, that looks kind of isolated.
Yeah, I'm out there.
No one's going to hear you scream, right?
No, they will not.
Yeah.
But what bugs me out is the no lights.
Yeah, it's very
dark
out there.
When you go to bed, it is pitch black. Like if something happens, if someone comes in, if you don't hear it, you're toast. You're not going to be able to see anything going out there.
My tax dollars at work.
Can I ask you a question,
no
Maggie?
Lights on our street.
Maggie,
so dark.
When you're at a red light in the morning in your neighborhood, do you sometimes run it?
So we talked about this. Remember when we first started the show and I was actually sitting there like a doofus at the red light at 3:30 or when do I leave? 4:15 in the morning. No, I'm running those red lights now. I don't need to stop.
You go right through the red light.
Right through. Because it's so dark that if a car is coming, which happens like once a month, I will be able to see it.
What if a cop, what is there a cop?
I'll amend that. There is some weird pattern with the police of what near where I live, where for certain stretches of time, they'll be camped out at one spot, but then they'll sort of disappear and won't be there for a couple months, and then they'll come back, and then they won't. So yeah, when the cops are there, then I take it a little easy. Obviously. They've got nothing to do. It's 4:00 in the morning. I'm definitely getting pulled over, and it would really hamper me getting to work on time.
Yeah, that'd be bad.
Have you guys ever experienced a dummy cop?
Like, yes. It's parked on the side with no one in it.
Yeah, and like they put a literal dummy in there.
Yes.
Oh, I've never actually seen the dummy. I've just seen the car with no one in it.
Yeah, right where I used to live. They used to put a dummy right on the corner, right there.
Who's that fooling?
I guess
no disrespect to law enforcement, by the way. We respect and appreciate everything you do, but no one's falling for the dummy.
I also feel like it doesn't really help if someone still runs it, then you can't stop them. There's a dummy there.
Who do you think's a more illegal driver, like breaks more laws, me or you, Maggie? Like, I can't tell because you're suburban. Mm-hmm. Like, out there, you kind of don't need to break the laws. In the city, everybody breaks the laws.
Depends. If I've got my 5-year-old in the back seat, I'm driving Miss Daisy. Yeah, I'm very, very conservative. But
when you drive in the city in the morning, are you more aggressive?
Flying. Just flying. No, but I stop at the red lights in the city, obviously.
No
idea who could be coming around the corner. Could be Greg Giannotti.
Yeah.
That's how this whole thing started in the first place, when you almost hit the WFN morning show host with your car.
Just change the name of the show from Maggie and Perloff to Penelope Pitstop and Dick Dastardly.
Sure.
Wacky races. old listeners will get that.
Yeah. By the way, Nico is very confused by that. Even I was a little like, oh yeah, is that Rocky and Bullwinkle?
No, but it's in the same family.